Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Hallelujah. And let's just stay in this attitude of worship. We've worshiped the Lord with our tithes and offering. And let's leave our hearts open to receive what God has as we welcome up our pastor, Pastor Carl Thomas.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. So wonderful to be back. Tell the person standing next to you how beautiful they look today. Tell them how good they look. Say, oh, thank you. You can be seated. Thank you so much. Wonderful to be back. Wonderful to be back. You want to stand up here with me to bless it? Okay. Father, we thank you for this offering. I thank you that this is seed sown in good ground. Thank you that you do miracles with money, Jesus. Thank you that you bless finances and that you release the keys of the kingdom. In Jesus' name. And everybody said?
Amen.
If you just say amen, you get no increase. Lord, why did I lose my house? Well, remember that? No, I bind those words. I bind those words. All right, hey, Henry and Cindy, they're back from Honduras. I just came back from Brazil, but we're going to talk about that in a moment. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. Can I tell you a typical American thing? Can I just say typical American thing? Can I just make fun real quick? We're in Brazil, which is a fairly large country. All right, Americans have sometimes not all Americans obviously, but some Americans believe America is industrialized and first world, and everybody else wishes they could be America. You know what I mean? They're all some step cousin of America, and we have everything, and no one else in the world has anything. And often when you go to, and Henry will probably even, he can attest to this. Often when you go to third world countries, people go there and feel I just got to preach the gospel. And I love the gospel. But if someone came here to try to get you all saved, I'd be they're saved. We have a church, we preach. And every time a lot of Americans go to any other country, they preach salvation messages, which are good in crusades, in a church not as useful. And so it's they're not saved and they don't know anything. Because they're not Americans. And we went to Brazil, and we had a good meeting one time, and something began to happen, and they're like, and we just released that for Brazil. I'm like, you have authority over the whole country? That's amazing. That's amazing. The whole country you have an anointing for. Their church, every church I preached in was bigger than ours. And I'm going to release something for the whole country that they don't have. Why don't you pray for me? And that's what I had them do, every one of them. I had to pray for me. God gave me a message everywhere we went, but it's let's just be a little humble. Can we be humble? Is it possible God will send us somewhere that doesn't look as respectable to see if we'll be humble enough to receive there? Maybe have to receive, a child? I don't know. Maybe he would send you somewhere that isn't as glamorous to receive, not necessarily to give. And we gave and we received. Again, we'll talk about that in a moment, But Henry and Cindy were there. They went to Honduras, are mostly on a medical mission trip. But just Henry being there took the whole country for Christ. Because nobody there is saved, obviously. And if they are, they weren't American, so it didn't really count. I almost made that joke when I landed in Brazil. We take this country for Jesus. You can't even get a cab. Just be quiet. But I know they did some really amazing things. He was telling me earlier. And if you get him to the side, ask him about it. But also, Lou, where are you at? Me. Where? Oh, here. Stand up, Lou. Lou, it's Pentecost coming up for her. What day is your birthday? It was Friday. Friday was Pentecost for her 50. 50 is a big number. Twice. You're 100. Oh. So, huh? You're just you. She's not here, right? Yeah. I'm sure lots of people are turning 50 today, but we only know you. So come on up here. We're going to pray for you real quick. Right here. My lovely bride, if you'll come right here. Let me some of my ministry team directors come on, gather around her. We're just going to bless her real quick. You're like, wow, you didn't bless me. Well, you're not 50. Lou's been going to this church since the oldest person was half her age. Other than me, but you know. So they're just going to pray for her real quick. Stretch your hand. Father, in the name of Jesus. Just can get in front of her. It's okay. Go ahead. There's room right there. Get in front of her, honey. Come on now. Stretch your hand to Lou. You're supposed to be giving, not receiving. She's over there getting whacked. Jesus. Ah. Yeah. Just stretch your hand. Father, we just love Lou, and we just declare your blessings upon her this year. Everything that you have for her, Father. It's Pentecost. It's Pentecost for her, Jesus. We declare the best is yet to come. Father, just like on Pentecost, they got the Spirit and they were empowered to do things they couldn't do on their own, Father. We declare that this year she'll move from works to grace in the supernatural. Jesus, things will just come easier for her in so many areas of her life. And she'll come into promises. In Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. 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 We love you, Lou. We love you, Lou. Here, give me a quick hug here. We love us some Lou. So, hey, I know we're getting kind of long here, but if Felipe, you want to come on up and share some stories? Check. Any moment now, I feel it in my spirit. Talking to it?
Hello? Hi, everybody.
We went to Brazil. We're only going to tell a couple stories because I want to preach.
Okay.
But you have a good time?
I had a great time.
Turn them up a little bit, would you? Video guy?
I can be louder.
Oh, I know you can.
Okay.
He learned how to yell in Brazil. I'd be yelling over people. And the Lord says, he's like, and the Lord says. I'm like, come on, man, you got to back up and yell this thing. We're Pentecostal up in here.
Yeah.
hey, we really appreciate your prayer. Yeah?
Really appreciate it.
We could tell your prayer was honest. We had like some real issues at times, and we really felt your intercession. Helping us. When we were there, they thought we were just going to I don't know what they thought we were going to do, but we came there to do something.
Yeah, it wasn't a vacation.
And we didn't go there to go sightseeing and have a vacation and go to a conference. We went there to impart some things, yeah. Set some people free, and we felt your intercession giving us opportunities to do that. So we really appreciate you guys praying for us. But anything special, any stories, special stories you want to share? You want to tell, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Were you going to talk about the first time the first time that you preached, and there was the...
Well, let me tell you this. First time, we were there for a conference was the first 3 days.
Yeah.
Then we just kind of wandered the streets, and then we preached the weekend. So what do you want, whatever, and we preached like on a Tuesday.
Yeah,
what do you want to talk about?
The first time that we went somewhere for pastor to preach, it was my first time translating to a group of people. And I, first of all, I think it's a small testimony to most people, but to me it was, like, I just felt how much God was... how much he cares for like my worries and how I was nervous. It was my first time translating to it, like a full message, you know. So however that long that takes, an hour, whatever that was, and I just felt his care, his, like, you know, he was, each time that pastor went to preach somewhere, every time that we had a setup gig, like it
a
was
gig. I like
yeah
it.
Yeah each time it was like it was like God was letting me warm up, you know. The first time was a small group.
First time was altar ministry.
Yeah first time was altar ministry, but I didn't have to like translate a whole message. I was very nervous about translating a whole message. I felt okay with like one-on-one altar ministry, but I was very nervous about being up there the whole, you know, a whole message. It was something that I was, you know, really freaking out about, but God was just so awesome that he set it up where, like, each time that we went to minister, that pastor preached the message, it was like the group would be a little bit bigger, and the message was a little bit like more and a little bit longer. The first time I didn't even need a microphone. It was just a small group. I was able to get comfortable, and that night was like really powerful. That was just I don't know if you want to start telling the story.
Whatever you want, man.
Yeah. Well, that night
there was about 25 people there, right? 20.
Yeah,
about people.
Yeah, a little over 20 people there. It wasn't a church. It was like a group, like a prayer night that they do once a week, and pastor preached. He started off by, I think he had a message planned, but he started off just Holy Ghost was just I guess spoke to him about sharing his testimony and talking, because most of these people that were there were mostly new believers, and they were you know, they were new to a lot of the stuff. There was like a couple people in there that were really anointed, but it seemed like it was just them, and the other people were like.
Fast forward here. I got to preach here.
Okay, sorry. So pastor gave his testimony, and he's preaching, and at the end, there was people who wanted to receive. They were very hungry. There was people that wanted to receive the baptism. They wanted they wanted more. And I think the most impacting thing that I saw there was a young girl there was two young girls in the same night, and one of them, the first one that I prayed for was a 14-year-old girl. And, you know, we're ministering around the circle, and pastor's just like, he's doing his own thing. He's praying for somebody. And he's like, you go pray for that girl. I'm sure he was seeing something in the spirit at that point already. He's like, go make sure she's saved. Go get her saved. So, I mean, I walked up to her. I just was like, how's your heart? Are you okay? Let's just pray this prayer together. And, you know, I walked her through prayer of salvation. I don't know if she was saved or not, but, right then and there, there was stuff going on her, you know, there was something happening in her heart. So we were praying for her. And then I feel like as soon as as soon as the spirit started moving, as soon as she was like getting ready, pastor came up and, he's like, you know, I'm sure you saw what was going on in the spirit. I don't know. I didn't see it, but I know he did. And he's just like, basically, to make a long story short, this girl has, her eyes are closed. She's praying. And I see God doing stuff. It's amazing to me when like a young, you know,
what did she say, Felipe?
Okay. I'm sorry. She says, pastor's asking her, we're walking her through this. And she's like, we're like, what do you see? And she's like, I'm in a room and I see a lot of light, and the light is distant, and we're like, you know, walking her through, and she's walking towards the light, and she's having this like vision where she sees Jesus basically. She's getting closer and closer to the light, and after she gets to like the final point, she sees Jesus, and he embraces her, and she's just like, she was getting wrecked. You know, this is new to me, seeing young kids, like, you know, 14 years old, just sobbing, just getting an awesome experience. And she's seeing angels throughout the room, and the people there, you could tell they wanted something, but I felt like there was a little bit of blockage or something.
Yeah.
But that she was the first one to have an experience.
So she had this experience in heaven. She experienced Jesus, and then she saw these angels doing stuff to her in heaven in her head, right?
Yeah.
So when we came back into the room,
the faith just increased in the whole room. People,
because she was telling people.
Because she was telling people. People were listening. All the adults there were like amazed. And then she everywhere that we asked her, everywhere you see an angel, you know, go pray for the person that they're near. And as she was going, we were with her, and
she was sobbing.
She was sobbing. It was just the spirit just dropped in the room. People, all the adults that like seemed a little hesitant, as soon as that was happening, it's like. It was amazing. That happened. People got touched. About 10 minutes later, a girl that was like in children's ministry somewhere in another room came up. She was 8 years old. She had a very similar encounter with Jesus. We're praying for her. Her mom's asking us, hey, like, pray for her grades, pray for her health or something. And we're like, what? You know, we just went straight to her. We kind of ignored her mom and we just prayed. Hers was a little different. She closed her eyes and she saw angels that were like putting stuff in her hands, and she says that she feels like they're giving her everything that she needs. And
while she's saying this, tears are running down her eyes.
This is an 8-year-old girl.
Everybody around is bawling. Everybody around is crying uncontrollably while this girl is telling this story. It was unbelievable. It was like heaven was being released as this little girl was talking.
Yeah.
Felipe's crying. Mom's crying. People are gathering around crying. It was.
Yeah.
Neato bonito.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what was really exciting about this trip is a lot of people had intimate encounters with Jesus, which is what we really like.
Yeah.
Do you have another story you want to tell, or anyone you want me to tell, anything like that?
I think you should talk a little bit about the youth, just how the night that they that he.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, okay. Just briefly. I mean, you can just. Well, a lot was going on.
Yeah, they had a youth group we went to. It was about 40, 50 people. I don't know. And their youth is 16 to 26, and we made the mistake of saying we're going to pray for everybody who wants prayer, and so we were there till like 1 o'clock in the morning.
It started at 8.
Yeah, we were. You know, like I didn't have anything else to do. You know, like we'll just pray for everybody. And what was really neat was, I'd say everybody we prayed for had an encounter with Jesus. Mm-hmm. People were getting open visions, receiving gifts, prophesying over people. And what's real funny? Well, go ahead.
No, I just I feel like a whole for me anyways. Like what I love to bring back is just the anointing that was I feel like that was upon me during the whole trip was stuff that I wasn't that I don't you know I don't normally operate in here I don't you know on the day to day basis I don't it's very rare for me to get something like that. And over there I was just like in the moment that it was close to the end that we were leaving we I was so drained, you know, between translating and just, you know, pastor would just, you know, like go minister over there by yourself, and I was, you know, there was a point where I was very like I felt like I had nothing else to give, and I was praying for this girl and it seemed like we weren't getting anywhere, and I was just there. I was there for like, you know, when you're praying, like it feels like it's a lot longer than it is. I must have been like, you know, I was praying with her for like at least like 5 to 10 minutes almost, and just, you know, I didn't have anything else to say, and all of a sudden I felt like I was like, wow, I have nothing else to give right now, but I'm going to keep going. Amen. Right when at that point, I didn't notice it at the time, but the words that I was saying, like I had my eyes closed. I was like, you know, I opened my eyes and whatever I said to her was really affecting her. She was crying. Pastor came up about 2 minutes later and everything that I said to her when I felt like I had nothing else to give, he said it again. Exactly. Like I told her, like I gave her an example. I was like,
they believe you.
Yeah.
They believe
it was, yeah. It was awesome.
They believe. You don't have to tell them. They believe.
I'm not used to that. I'm not used to
that. Amen. Yeah, give it up for Felipe, everybody. Felipe did an amazing job. No, you're good. I'm gonna get the message here in a second. I just thank everybody who sewed into that trip, and I really believe that there's gonna be a great harvest. I guess he's done. Doesn't matter now. Go for it. And it was a great trip, and I wish we could have brought you all. We had a wonderful time. We'll tell more about it maybe next Family Fire Night, but it was just, what's really exciting is we have something for the world. Our little church, we have something for the world. That's what was very exciting. We got just amazing prophetic words over this church, over my ministry, and Felipe was very anointed, so you want to get him to pray for you later. Amen. If you got a Bible, go ahead and turn to Revelation chapter 4, if you would. Hallelujah. I'm here to let you know the church in Brazil is strong. Many of them, at least. But praise God. Revelation chapter 4. We're in our We Are series, We Are Revival Life. I'm going to give a brief word, and we're going to pray, and we're going to go home. You feeling good today? You excited for Felipe? He did a great job translating, really a good job translating. Can I tell you something funny that they do there to us Americans? There's dancing at every service, like dancing. Right? Except there's men and women. And as Americans, that was a little challenging for us to watch, to be honest. I said, Felipe, you should do that Sunday. He says, I don't think they make ballet slippers in men's size 12. I said, bet they do in Brazil. He'll bring that back. He won't be flowing in that anointing, apparently. Can I tell you another really funny story? I told this Friday night. The worship leader on the last night that we preached said he had never fallen out in the spirit before that night, twice. Revelation chapter 4, starting in verse 1. You there? Let me hear you say yeah. After this, now, if you remember, if you've read the book of Revelation, which is a good book, and the Bible says you're blessed if you read it. Don't be scared of this book. Don't be scared of the book of Revelation. I believe it gets a lot of bad press. I'm with Jesus, and so I'm going to be fine. Any theology that separates you from Christ, reject. I'm not telling you what's happening at the end or anything like that. Any theology that separates you from Jesus, just reject that. All I know is I am his and he is mine. And no chance will I ever be giving Tracy over to any devil or demon or abandoning her. It's not going to happen. And I just got to believe that Jesus is a better bridegroom than I am. I'm just forced to believe that his covenant is even stronger than mine. Can you imagine Jesus breaking a covenant? What would happen if Jesus broke a covenant? The earth would stop spinning. Gravity would no longer work. I mean, you know what I mean? I'd like cats. Like, who knows what would happen? Can I tell you something funny, a funny story as we get into this? I asked my son about youth group Friday night. He's at youth ministry, which I heard was awesome. And I'm trying to quiz him on what happened in youth group. Is Corey in here? Is he? I'm quizzing him on youth group, and he couldn't remember what happened. I said, did he talk about the Bible at all? He's like, yeah, something in Luke, whatever. I was like, do you remember anything? He's like, well, I remember he gave us some advice. I said, yeah? What was the advice? And he said, don't let your wife talk you into getting a cat. That's all he remembered. And I said, that's a good word, son, right there. Hold on to that one. He's training them up when they're young, man, and they shall not depart. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's a good word. Is Corey even in here? He's taking care of some usher stuff? Well, anyway, so we know in the book of Revelation, John is in on a prison island, which can't be good, and he gets a visitation. And in this visitation, he's taken up into heaven. And during this visitation, he's taken up into heaven. He's shown seven churches that are about to undergo some bad times if they don't repent. And that's kind of worrisome, and he's told to write some letters. Right after that, the Lord tells him this. Verse 1, after this, after, you know, seeing these, writing these letters and seeing these churches, he says, I looked and behold a door, man, this is good. I looked and behold a door standing open in heaven, exclamation point. Right? That's got to mean something. And the first voice which I heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. Father, we love you. We love your word. We love who you are. We love your spirit. We love everything about you. We love your repentance. We love your love. We love your grace. We love what you teach us. We love you. We love your prophetic word over our lives. We love the order that you bring to our lives. We love the truth that we get to live in, and we exalt your truth above everything else, Father. Father, we declare today that we don't care what society says. We don't care what man has decided. We declare that we have decided to agree with what you have said in the patterns you have shown us in your word. We love you, and we want everything that you have for us. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen and amen. I want to talk a little bit about encountering Jesus today. I want to talk about encountering Jesus today. How you doing, Corey? We missed you, man. Everybody say hi to Corey. Tell me, great wisdom, right? We talked about you a minute ago, but we'll tell you about it later, I guess. Youth group was awesome. That's all I'm trying to say. So we got John here, and there's a lot of false teaching on visions and revelation and encounters today. You know that? There's a lot of teaching on this that, much of what you get from God, it depends on you. There's a lot of false teaching that says that you control what God does, and you can make God do what you want him to do. How do you know that's a lie? If we're in control, then we're the God. Right? Now, if God gives you something, it's up to you to decide how you're going to use it. But it's our lives, we dedicate our lives to responding to who God is. And John, right here in these two verses, gives us an amazing pattern of encountering God. Let's take a look at it here. In verse 1 of Revelation chapter 4, it says, after this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, exclamation point. Now, the first thing I want you to see, and these aren't my points, but I want you to see a couple things in this scripture. The very first thing I want you to see is that he was looking. He was looking toward heaven for what was happening, what God had for him. I find it very sad when I meet a Christian who gave their life to Christ at an altar one day. Maybe they studied the Bible and they had some sort of understanding that Jesus Christ is the Savior, and without him they couldn't be saved. And somehow they've come to a mental assent, or they've come to some sort of intellectual agreement with truth. Yet they feel like, now that I have received this truth, now all that's left is to learn more about this truth. They're not looking to heaven for more. Once they come to this agreement, that's all there is. There is this agreement, and now I need to learn more about this thing that I've agreed to. But we see here in this scripture, John, who I feel knew Jesus pretty well, since he walked with him, since he had his head on his breast at the Last Supper, since he's called the beloved in his own book. You know, he had to feel fairly confident in his relationship with Jesus to call himself the beloved. Special revelation he had. Yet the Bible tells us he was still looking. He was still looking. It's easy in our Christianity to get so satisfied with where we're at. And it's so easy in our Christianity to stop looking for more from Christ and just, now it's no longer him revealing things to me, it's just me discovering more. Remember when you first got saved? Those of you who are saved, if not, you know, you write it after service. We'll take care of that, and you too can understand what I'm talking about. Remember when you first got saved and it was like you entered into the whole new world? I remember when I got saved, I didn't know how to dress anymore. Like, what clothes do I pick out? What do I listen to? Like, I don't like the stations I hear, but I don't want to listen to the stations I used to listen to. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I have a bunny trail I want to go down, but I'm not going to. Hallelujah. When I got saved, I entered into a new kingdom, a new reality. It was a new realm of living. It wasn't me recognizing that I do need a Savior. Wow, I'm glad I figured that out. Now I can live my life knowing that I've met the Savior. I entered a new life, a new world. And it's easy, like when you first get saved, you just want to know everything you can know. Anybody remember that? You remember reading the Bible and just stuff for the first time? Like, oh my gosh, it's amazing. Oh my gosh, it's amazing. Look, look, look. Isaiah, Jesus quoted that and the healing. And oh my gosh, to set the captives free, I saw him do that. And the Pentecost came in the fire. And I remember getting overwhelmed with that presence. Oh, I remember. You remember that? Remember reading the Bible and just meeting people and talking about, oh, you know him too. Oh, I know him. This is amazing. And then, I don't know, 6, 8, 10, 12 months later, many of your friends go to church or you've come to grips with your sin. You've gotten rid of the really bad stuff, but, you know, some stuff isn't that big a deal. God's not really, he's not about all those things. And so now you just get into this place, you plateau, just where you're kind of happy. Just kind of happy, and for some reason, it's no longer really dynamic. It doesn't continue to grow. It doesn't continue to expand. You know, I think about those angels in heaven that are circling, crying out 24/7, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And here we are on earth, nowhere near that close to God. And we get satisfied with a little bit of revelation we get. And I wonder how much of the revelation that we get, how much of the encounter, how much of the fellowship that we get with God is God holding some back. But I wonder how much is we're just not looking anymore. Can you give me a little bit more, Jose? I feel like I'm losing my voice here right quick. I wonder how much of that is that we're not looking. And what's exciting about this scripture is John, who, like I said, knew God. He said, I looked, and behold, standing a door standing open in heaven with an exclamation. He was still excited about the revelation of God. He was still excited that God would reveal himself to him. We have so many people here with prophetic giftings and apostolic giftings and evangelistic giftings. And it's so easy to get to a place where you're not just that excited about God anymore. May I say, we sometimes make the switch from a Christ follower to being a Christian. Because to be a follower, you have to be looking at the one you're following. Christian is just a label. I'm a Christian. You're a Christian. What does that mean exactly? Well, he's my Savior. Are you following him? Are you actively following him? Do you hate sin and love righteousness? Do you hate the devil and love God? I mean, are you seeking to grow in your faith? Are you looking for where he has you to? I mean, are you a Christ follower or are you a Christian? And I want to be a follower. I want to be a follower. I want to be excited about every revelation. We were in Brazil walking the streets with some people who honestly have been in ministry longer than I've been saved. People who've seen more miracles than, you know, I don't know if I'll ever see. Just people who have led significant ministries on the earth. And we met this girl, Felipe and I. Actually, they met her first. And there's many, many Brazilians who know English. They just want to learn English, and they learn it, which I find amazing because I haven't learned anything but tongues. But they were excited to hear somebody talking in English, and so she wanted to, hey, you know, my store is two slots over if you can, you know, whatever. We're like, oh, yeah, we'll see you afterwards. And, you know, we ate our little meal, and we went over to their store, and they're like, oh, that's so nice. You learned, you know, English. That's awesome. We'll have some ice cream and, you know, have a great day. And I'm like, let's see. We're in Brazil, and somebody wants to talk to us. They learned our language. Might this be a divine appointment? I'm not a prophet, but, you know, to me, it's, you know, I'm working. I brought a translator so I can make my own divine appointments. And here's someone coming to talk to me. Maybe we should at least mention his name. Shall we? You know, at least just tell her maybe, you know, we have a conference. You can go, anything. You know, just why not? So she was about, I don't know, how old was she, Felipe? 16? She was 14? She was a teenager. Thanks, Felipe. I thought she was 16. I thought she was 14. She was probably 20. Who knows? So everybody's ready to say goodbye, and I'm like, you know, I'm never going to see you again. I have absolutely nothing to lose here. I'm in Brazil. I spent my money to come here. I'm going to have to give some testimonies when I get back. Justify my time away. And so I just said to her, I just grabbed her hand, and I said, Brazilian girl. They don't understand homegirl there so much, so. I said, hey, you know, we're here from America. We're here to minister, and is there anything we can pray for you for? Just anything, you know, that you would like prayer for? And I look at her, and instantly she begins to cry uncontrollably. And I say, do you know Jesus? Are you right with him? She's like, no. And now she's crying really hard. So I was like, well, this could be a divine appointment after all. You know, like, what do you know? Like, I didn't start praying and calling things down and going through the four spiritual laws. I just shook her hand. I said, is there anything we can pray for? And the Spirit of God just fell on her. Now, fortunately, there was this older woman who's there with us who's been in ministry a very long time. And I said, you know, she's like a mom. I wanted to sit in her lap. You know what I mean? Like, can you just hug me? Get some inner healing, I believe. Just hug me. Just tell me I'm awesome and rub my hair. I'm going to be good. That's all I really need right there. And so I knew she had this anointing on her. So I was like, hey, can you just... can you minister to her? Because I see some woman in the back. I'm like, well, let's go for the woman in the back, shall we? So this woman's ministering to her, and I go to the back. There's this lady in the back. I said, hey, you know, we're here from America. We're missionaries, and do you have any pain in your body? Anything that you would like prayer for? She goes, I have a bad pain right here in my back. I was like, oh, that's very easy. Let me pray. Now, she didn't know English so much, so I had Felipe was in on that one. And so we go to pray for her, and bam, her back is healed, right? Turns out to be this girl's mom. Like, hallelujah, this is good, right? Back is completely healed. She's crying. I'm like, try it out. She's like, oh, it feels wonderful. This is awesome. And so we tell the girl, hey, we're at a conference and you can come, blah, blah, blah. And the people we were with made sure that she can get in for free. And she came. This girl came to the conference the next night. And so I said to her as we're leaving, I said, listen, I said, I really believe that God set this up. I believe we were supposed to meet you. She's still crying and she says, I've been waiting for this day my whole life. Good God. You can get so focused on the church business. These men and women that we were traveling with love Jesus. They love his church. I take nothing away from these mighty men of faith and women of faith. I take nothing away from what they're doing. I want to be them one day. But sometimes we can just forget, like, the one. We can forget that Jesus wants to have a relationship with me. You can get so caught up in your ministry here at Revival Life Church, you forget you're more important to Jesus than your ministry. You're more important than your ministry. You are more important than what you bring here. And what you bring here is important. What I do here on Sunday mornings is important, but it's not as important as Jesus loving me. It's got to be built on the fact that Jesus is the God, that angels are surrounding the throne saying, holy, 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 holy. And I need to at least now and then have a relationship where I'm seeing more of his holiness, where I'm being transformed by this encounter. And you don't get this by just studying what you encountered at the altar. You get this by studying the encounters you have with Jesus ongoing. You should be looking for where Jesus is and how he wants to give you a new encounter. Not different, not beyond what the scripture has, but he's alive. If I only fulfilled what I promised my wife on our wedding day, I'd be an amazing husband. But how many of you know it's more than that? It's more than that. I promise her a bunch of really good stuff. And if I did those things all the time, I'd be amazing. But yet there's still even more. I mean, I didn't say, yeah, and honey, when you have a hard day at work, I'm going to encourage you. I didn't say that, but I think that's part of an ongoing relationship, right? And when the kids are sick all night and you've had to stay up with them two nights, the third night I'll stay up. You know what I mean? I'm not saying every third night, but I'm just saying I'll recognize when you're not feeling well and I'll help. And you for me. You know what I mean? That didn't come out right, but you know what I'm saying. Our kids, I clean the shower. That wasn't in there, but she's saying, thank you, Jesus, for the covenant. Now, that has nothing to do with it in our vows, but that's who we are as a couple. And your relationship with Jesus is far beyond your recognition that he's your Savior. It's got to be so much bigger than your revelation that he died on a cross for your sins. That has to be the foundation, but if it stops there, it's like, you know, you go to the altar and get married and you never go on the honeymoon. I mean, I'm happy for the wedding. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And all the fellas said, amen. See what I'm saying? There's got to be more than just, there has to be communion. There has to be living life together. And Jesus says here in Revelation chapter 4, he says right here in that same verse 1 that we're still on, he says, come up here and I will show you. I found the people who see more are the people who are looking for more. When I look for good people, I find good people. When I look for how God is blessing me, I see how God is blessing me. And when I look for the God who wants to show me stuff, he shows me stuff. If I live with my expectation activated, then I draw more. It's not on my side. He's still the one showing. But my God, it says there's a doorway in heaven, and when he looked, it was open. And some of you might say, you know, I feel like this door is closed for me. And I say, are you looking? Are you looking? Are you looking for revelation? Are you looking for revelation? You say, well, what am I for? Well, there's a door he wants to open in heaven and show you stuff. Now, we know John chapter 10, verse 9, you evangelists know this, that Jesus is the door. Do you hear me that? Jesus is the door. Jesus is the door. We had an amazing time of ministry with a young man who was a worship leader. And I was talking about religion. And I'm not a real big fan of religion. And he's like, yeah, I get you with religion, man. I don't really like religion. And I was like, I see where this is going. And we're not on the same page. I don't like this religion. People say, you know, I was reading this Eastern philosopher and you saying this stuff. I'm like, oh, no, this is no good. This is not where I want to be going with you. We're not tracking right now. And he's going on about, you know, the greatest is love. And as long as you have love in your heart, I'm like, yeah, okay. We're going to pray for you right now. You're going to see something. Now, let's just clear all this up right now. And we pray for him, and all of a sudden he's in heaven. And he sees the Father far off, but he can't get to him. I was like, yeah, you can't get to him, can you? He's like, no, I can't. I don't know why. I was like, do you know why? No, I don't know why. Let's ask. Why can't I get to you? And he sees Jesus over on the side. And the only way you can get to the Father is through Jesus. I was like, what do you think about that? What do you think you should do? I should go through Jesus. There's no other way to the Father. I read that somewhere. Confesses Jesus is the only way to the Father. All of a sudden, he's sitting in the Father's lap. I was like, all that Eastern stuff is great and all, but ain't no other way to the Father but through Jesus. Now, I could argue with this man all day. But I believe Jesus wants to reveal that. There's no other way to get to the Father but through the Son. And I'm here to let you know that there is a door open in heaven. And his name is Jesus. And the Bible tells me that when he died on a cross, the veil was rent and the door is open. The door. Tell your neighbor, the door is open. Now, I'm not talking about flaky Christianity here. Now, Holy Ghost is about to start rolling into this room right now. Just want to let you know. I'm not talking about flaky Christianity. I'm talking about Bible. I'm talking about Bible Christianity. I'm talking about biblical Christianity. I don't want to live by experience. I want to live by truth. Anybody want to live by truth? Anybody want to live by the word and not by experience? Anybody want to live by the word and not by experience? Yeah, I want to live by the word, not by experience. Whatever the word says is true, right? And just because I feel something or don't feel something, don't make it true. All right, let's take a look at the word here, shall we? Now we're in Acts chapter 9, and Jesus has already walked the earth, died, resurrected, and now he's in heaven. Yes? So what's happening right here is exactly like the time we're in today. Post-resurrection period of the church, right? We're in agreement here, right? Jesus went up into heaven. The Spirit had been given at Pentecost. The church was born. That's the era we live in right now, right? Yeah? And so they wrote this book of Acts to let us know what church is supposed to look like post-resurrection and Pentecost. That's why it's here, just to give us a little model. And so here we are in Acts chapter 9, and there's a guy who doesn't know, well, he knows who Jesus is, but he didn't follow him. As a matter of fact, he's murdering Christians, which we say is bad. And I don't need a law to tell me that. It's bad. And so as we peruse, we move on to Acts chapter 9, verse 3. We pick up the story of this man who's traveling to go get people. And it says, verse 3 says, "Now as he went on his way," and this is Saul, of course, who becomes Paul, wrote a whole bunch of the New Testament. "As he went on his way, as he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I'm Jesus, who you are persecuting. Rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do.'" Anybody know where Saul got saved? We don't hear about anybody leading him through a prayer. Let's come to the altar, you know, close your eyes and bow your head and say after me, "Jesus, I'm sorry." You know, you don't see any of that there. And how many of you know you can say that prayer and not get saved? I can teach a parrot to say that. Doesn't mean he's going to be saved. Right? Doesn't mean he's saved. It's a conversion of the heart. But here we are. Saul gets knocked off his donkey, and he says, "Who are you, Lord?" Somewhere right in there, right in the falling, I don't know what it was. All of a sudden, he went from the one I'm trying to kill to Lord. Right in there. He had an encounter with Jesus, and he got converted. I don't know how you can receive Jesus as your Savior and be converted from a hell-bound sinner to a blood-washed saint without encountering the one whose blood was given. I was washed in the blood. Really? When did that happen? Well, I said a prayer. Did you encounter him? Well, I said the prayer. But I thought you said you got washed in the blood. Now, I got to believe if you got washed in the blood, you would know what that felt like. I clearly remember when my sins were taken away. I clearly remember one day I woke up one way and I went to bed that night completely different. I remember I had encountered the living God. And when I had an encounter with the living God, he gave me his righteousness. He washed me clean from my sin and gave me a new future. My God from Zion, he didn't give me a new name on this side, but I knew I was a different person. I know he called me by a different name at that time. You can ask me, "Carl, have you been washed in the blood?" I say, "Oh, to the brim, I'm filled with his Holy Ghost in love. I know it because I have encountered it, and I don't need just a book to tell me about it. I met him, and he washed me." Can you say amen? I'm here to let you know there's a lie from the devil saying, "Oh, all these spiritual encounters, that's Easter." That's a lie from the devil. Why do you think they say that? Why do you think they say that? We listen to what the world says about the church and we try to adapt to their accusations. Could you imagine if you lived your life trying not to do the things that people gossip about you about? What about every piece of gossip you've heard about you? What if you lived your life according to that? Oh, look at her on stage singing. Oh, she thinks she's all that. Oh, they think I'm prideful on stage. I'll stop singing. Oh, look at how he preaches. He thinks, I better stop preaching them because they're gossiping about me. Why do you think there's a move in the church today saying that, all these encounters are new age? Why do you think that's out there when it's clearly right here in the scriptures? They want us to reject the scriptures. I see all over this book people encountering God. Oh, that's not God. Look at you, fell down. He fell off a horse. I'm thankful I was just standing right here. With someone behind me with a nice little cloth to put over me. I mean, this is awesome. This is better. If you want, I'll put you on a horse and let you fall off of that if you want to be biblical about it. How about when Paul was preaching, a dude falls out the window and dies? You want to fall out that way? Is that? Oh, no, I'd fall out, Pastor, but I'm not in a window. I got to go sit in a window so I can fall out under the Spirit during the teaching. I mean, this is stupid. You want to be biblical? Let's get biblical. No, I don't want to be biblical. He wants to quench the Spirit. I'm not going to quench the Spirit. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to let gossip decide what I'm going to do. I'm not going to let it dictate how we behave. I'm here to let you know. This dude was riding on a horse. And Jesus came down and he had an encounter. And in the midst of that encounter, he got saved. I don't know how it happened. But I know this. Without God, it's not possible. We have whole ministry structures that if God didn't come at all, nothing would change. If you could do your ministry without God, then you are not operating in faith. I appreciate ministries of service. I appreciate food programs, and it's not one or the other. I went to Brazil to have people have encounters with God by His Spirit, get visions and all that. Henry and Cindy went to Honduras, and they gave people medicine who didn't have medicine. They're both Christ. Okay, we're not talking one or the other here. Jesus said, you're going to tell people, feel good, go ahead and feel good and not fill their stomach. He's like, no, you got to meet some of these needs to show Christ. I'm with that. I'm not, let's not get radical in either direction here, you know. Like, they don't need food. They just need to lay on the ground and laugh. No, that's stupid. When I'm hungry, I don't think about laying on the ground laughing. I think about eating. I try to tell the Brazilians, you don't eat enough. That's why y'all are so thin. The fullness of the Lord right here. I have something to teach you. We would go to these, you Brazilians know what I'm talking about. They have these little finger things, these little foods, this little pig in the blanket and little cheese puff. We're like, this is dinner. That's a little plate right here. Seven trips it is. I'd take less trips to the food. You gave me a bigger plate. That's all I'm trying to say. Whatever you want, I'm leaving here full. All right? I got to tell you, the pork wrapped in bacon is amazing. That's all I'm trying to say right there. That is good. Get pork and wrap it in more pork. Oh, Jesus. Oh, we have many things to teach our American friends here. Encounters are biblical, and it's what the church is based on. It's built on these encounters with God. Without an encounter with Jesus, then you just have religion. That's all you have is religion. Keep the rules. I'm going to teach you the rules. And I'm gonna teach them to you, and you're going to keep them. Well, so good I have you. I don't need the Holy Spirit. That's amazing. You just give me the rules, and I'll keep the rules. And that God will be happy. God loves rules. He loves rules. Teach me more rules. You know what we ought to do? We ought to get all the rules and write them down in some books. And you just tell me how God wants me to live, and we'll list all the rules. And then I don't have to ask God. And if it's sin not to keep the rules, let's just call them, what's a good word? Law. We'll keep laws, and the laws say this is how we have to live, and somehow if we break the law, there has to be punishment, because if there's law, there has to be punishment, right? I mean, because if you break the law, there needs to be punishment, so maybe something has to be sacrificed. We'll say, we'll sacrifice stuff if we break the law, because God won't be happy. But once we sacrifice, oh, wait a minute, Jesus came to destroy that system. He came to destroy that system with a new system. He called it the New Covenant. I'm told it's a better covenant. I read an amazing book about this. You might want to read it. Write this down. It's really an amazing book. It's called Galatians. And in this book, it tells us that this law is not what got him excited. The law was to show us that there is sin, but however, there's a new covenant that tells us under grace we can encounter Jesus and be transformed from a sinner to a saint. And if we have a hard time working it out, the Holy Ghost would come and empower us to do things we can't do on our own. You'll do many things out of love that you'll never do out of obligation. And if you don't encounter Jesus, you can't encounter His love. And it's the love that burns in my heart that keeps me from hating, keeps me to hate sin. It keeps me loving righteousness. This is not a work of the law. Isaiah 61, we're going to end with this momentarily. This passage of scripture is dear to me. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, starting in verse 1, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Wait a minute, we're in Isaiah 61, but that's not even what I wanted to read. I wanted Isaiah 6, verse 1. That's good stuff, though. Study that and start doing some of that stuff. I'm reading this, I'm like, I hope this goes somewhere, because this isn't what I'm talking about. It's good stuff, but it's just, maybe that's the Lord speaking. I don't know. Isaiah 6, verse 1. 6, 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Say, I saw the Lord. Who believes we're in a better covenant than they were in the Old Testament? He saw the Lord, though. Is a better covenant not seeing the Lord? What would a better covenant be? The heavens are open. I'm in a better covenant. Hallelujah. Isaiah 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. Oh, hallelujah. High and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Oh, Jesus. Woo. Above him, come on. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. Why are you telling us about all these seraphim and their angels and the wings and all that? Because he wasn't making this stuff up in his mind. He's letting you know, I saw something. And he called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me, for I am lost. Sounds like Paul, right? Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then the Bible tells us that the angels came and cleansed him. I want to show you three things that happen with an encounter with God. This is how we test if it's real. Isaiah 6:1 says that the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Once you have an encounter with God, you gain an awareness of his presence. You gain an awareness of his presence. Listen, we have encounters here in church so that when we go out into the world, we can tell them, God is near to you. He's near to everyone who seeks him. God is near. I have an encounter with God here, and then I go into the world and I see him there. And I say, hey, you, girl selling yogurt on the street of Sapiranga, Brazil, I believe the Lord is near to you. I've had an encounter with him, and I believe he's with me. And since you've come near to me, I believe he wants to come near to you. Let me release that. I mean, what do you say to this girl? Hey, say these words and come to church and learn the rules so you can gain God's favor also. Look, I learned the rules. You should come learn the rules so that you can earn God's love. That's where all this self-righteousness in church comes from. People are very excited about their ability to keep the rules, not excited about the God who will encounter people. Wow, this is getting very good right now. There's an awareness of his presence. I want to move on, but I want to talk about this. There's an awareness of his presence that changes conversations. Is anybody in here, you wanted to go sin and then the Holy Ghost reminded you he's in the room? Has that ever happened? The Lord is near. The Lord is near to you. How do you have a comforter who's nowhere near you? You ever have, like, you go through, like, something really bad and someone tells you on Sunday, I've been praying for you. Well, that's good, but how about calling me? Asking me how I'm doing. Oh, did you hear about John? He's going through this thing. Yeah, did you call him? No, I didn't want to, you know, I don't know, what, comfort him? You don't want to comfort him? Let him know that we care? You don't want to do that? Or just let him wander off and die? Is that? That ought to make you feel better. No, that makes you feel better. Comfort people. The presence. Number two, we're going to look at verse 3 here. He says, and one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. The first thing, if you have a genuine encounter with God, you're aware that his presence goes with you. Number two, you gain an awareness of his holiness. People say they're having encounters with God, and yet their sin level is not decreasing. They're probably just having encounters with their imagination, we'll say. We'll just say their imagination. I've met these New Agers in the church. I've met these people who want to tell me all about their encounters but aren't gaining holiness. The more I encounter God, the more I receive. The more I'm imparted of his character and his nature. When the woman with the issue of blood touched Jesus, Jesus said, I felt virtue leave me. I felt virtue, truth, holiness. I felt it leave me. He didn't decrease in it. She got an impartation of what he calls holiness. Part of what he calls holiness is being healed. And when we encounter God, we get more of his virtue. Don't tell me you've been encountering God and you're bragging about it and you're prideful. Oh, you're serving Jesus, but you want everybody to know exactly how you're serving, huh? I think you're serving your pride. How about you do it in quiet and see if you get as much fun? This holiness, when we encounter God, it should manifest holiness. It should manifest holiness. We've had people come minister in this, came with somebody in this church. We had a small meeting at the office, and this guy came with someone else, and I was like, yeah, you might have a gift. I don't want you touching me. We're not having you back if you bring him. I'm not impressed with gifts. I'm impressed with people who have character and are clean and are humble. I don't need you imparting miracles and demons. I'd rather have small miracles and big demons. I want clean. I want Jesus. Amen? I want Jesus. Wow. And number one, there's an awareness of his presence. Number two, there's awareness of his holiness. Number three is deep humility. Verse 5 says, and I said, woe to me, for I'm lost, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. There's a move today that people say they're encountering God, and they're prideful, and they're sinful, and they believe after their encounters that sin is not a big deal. And I say, you're encountering something, and I can cast it out of you if you want. If you repent. I've had to have this argument with people. I've had to sit and talk with people, and I had to tell them, listen, that is not God that you're talking about right now. You are deceived. And while as a friend you may look the other way, I'm here to let you know there's a cancer going through the church today. And this cancer says that God, because of the new covenant, sin has been taken care of. It's no longer a big deal to God. I'm here to let you know that's a lie from the devil. It is deception. It is a lie from the devil. Jesus is not as concerned with your sin when you are humble and repentant, because the blood washes you clean. But the moment you think it's not a big deal is the moment you don't understand why Jesus had to die. And you set yourself up for a deep fall. He is a holy God. And as a matter of fact, he said, listen, I'm not just concerned with what you're doing. I'm concerned with what you're thinking. I'm so concerned with your sin that if two people come to you and tell you you're in sin, it's like myself are telling you. It's a big deal. Two or three are gathered. There I am in the midst. That's talking about when someone's telling you you're in sin. Read the scripture. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. And I'm not saying this so you'll feel bad and I'll have a big salvation altar. Go, oh, I'm so awful. Yes, pastor, pray for me. I'll say that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying what you need to do is encounter Jesus and get his virtue to touch you. Are you struggling with sin? If you're struggling with sin, I'm here to let you know you need more Jesus. You don't need more altar calls necessarily. You may get your breakthrough at the altar, but what you need is more Jesus. You don't need to work harder. If your hard work would have done it, we'd have stuck in the old covenant. When you encounter Jesus, you gain a man. This new age spirit, it tells people, number one, their sin's not a big deal, and it makes them so prideful. So ridiculously prideful. I've had to have conversations with these ministers who just are convinced that they're awesome. And I don't worship men. I saw Jesus. I haven't seen anybody that impresses me like him. Oh, that's neat. That's what you do. That's really something. Oh. Sorry, I'm not as impressed with you as you are. I see the fruit. I want to see people who love God. People around them are humble and are aware of God's presence. Are you with me here? I feel like there's a little something right now that I'm coming against right here in this very church right here. And it's going to just get uprooted in some people's lives. It's going to get uprooted in some people's lives right now because the presence of God is here. And he's ready to encounter you. He's ready to encounter you and uproot this thing out of your life. And you'll have an impartation of holiness. Can I get the band, please? You can stay, Courtney. You're good. Can we just get one keyboard player? I don't know if we need both. Is that okay? Go ahead. We'll look at our three-piece band. Is that okay? Listen. Don't start packing up or anything. I'm here to let you know the Spirit of God is here. And some of you, I just feel this so strongly. Some of you have been working very hard to live without sin. You've been working very hard at it. And I'm here to let you know, Jesus already carried your sin. He carried it on the cross. What you need to learn to do is encounter God and give him your life. Play me a little bit here. We're going to play the last song you guys did. You know what I'm saying? The last song. Preached at a Saturday night before we left to preach at a service. We had worship. This was the youth ministry. Got in the pulpit. The Lord was like, you ain't going to preach nothing. I was like, okay, what are we going to do then? He's like, you're going to talk about gossip. There's gossip in this room, and it's going to destroy this ministry. And he's the boss. So I talked about it. I went at it. The root of gossip is the same thing that you know better than people that God has appointed to do it. Yet you won't be bold enough to let them know that you think you know better. It's just pride mixed with more pride. With a sandwich of deception in the center. Got deception sandwiched with pride. God is going to set some people free today. Jesus, we do love you, and I just want a fresh encounter with you, God. Wow, okay, I just heard from God. There's people in this room right now. This is so good. Corey, this is good. I'm trying to tell you, this is very good. This is a very good word right now. There's people in this room, you're called to carry the presence of God. There's people in this room right now, you're called to carry the presence of God and to give it to the world. Good Lord, I see it right now in the spirit. You're like, that's weird. Yeah, it really is, because it's supernatural. He's a supernatural God. Does anybody know? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah? Who knows what I'm talking about right now? Come on, get excited. No, I don't mean clap. I mean, get expectant. Are you looking for the open door? You can give me a little bit there. Brandon, I think they need you up there because it's not flowing yet. Why don't you get up there? Maybe you can help them out. Jesus, I'm here to let you know there's something happening in the room right now. There's a fresh encounter for people that's going to happen right now. And I believe there's an impartation of carrying the presence for people. I believe that we need to carry the presence, just like this poor girl in Brazil who's been waiting her whole life for an encounter with God. Didn't even know it until someone came up with the presence and released it upon her life. I'm here to let you know, you can work it out really hard and you can tell all your family, oh, you need to go to church. You need to get saved. Oh, you need that. No, what they need is Jesus. What they need is Jesus. They don't need you. They don't need your rules. They need Jesus. I found that he's very, very, very good at telling people what they need. Way better than us. Way better than us. way better than us. So just pray in the Holy Ghost for me here. Somebody do me a favor. Just turn off the house lights. Ha. Ha. Mikey, turn yours back up. All I hear is strings. There we go. There we go. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Stand with me if you will. We're going to sing. Don't leave yet. I'm going to dismiss you in 4 minutes. There's a fresh encounter happening. Lucas, there's a fresh encounter for people right now. Yeah. Brandon, there's a fresh encounter for people. You got to see it. Get ready before you get ready to sing. You close your eyes and you got to see it. You got to sing from that. You got to play from that. Listen. Does anybody know what I'm talking about here? Does anybody know what I'm talking about here? Let's get focused. 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 Let's get focused right now. A fresh encounter. Listen, when you see the Lord, everything changes. When He knocks you off your horse, everything changes. There was a time in my walk that I was struggling with something. This is going to sound funny to some of you. I mean, I was struggling for a long, long, long time. I did everything I could to work it out. And one day Jesus visited me in a dream. And He said to me, "That's enough of that." And that was enough of that. I was done. I can't even brag in it. Jesus just came and took it away. The desire left. The bondage left. The struggle left. It was Jesus. I encountered Him. I said, "Yes, You're now Lord of this area of my life." I need a fresh encounter with Jesus every day. If I'm going to follow Him, if I'm going to be a minister of the gospel, if I'm going to do His will on the earth, come on now. If I'm going to be a Christ follower instead of just a Christian, I need to have a fresh encounter with Jesus. I said, "I've seen this part of You, Lord. I need a new holy to give You. I need a new holy to cry out." Who knows what I'm talking about?